You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Everybody, welcome to KoopaCast number 46. This is the week of this is the week of Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. I'm your host, Matt Paxton, the multimedia manager for Pure Nintendo. I am joined by these four other people who will proceed to introduce themselves as they answer this question. What game have you beaten the most?
Okay, I'll start off. I'm Alex, I'm a writer for Pure Nintendo, and the game that I've beaten the most is probably Link's Awakening for the Game Boy. It's my favorite. I can't help it, I have to always go back to that game.
Obsession.
All right, J-Money?
It is.
I'm J-Money, I'm assistant editor for the website and PNMR magazine. I don't know that I've ever beaten a game more than once. Like, if I beat it, I never really go back to it because I have so many other games to play. Because I have, like, a huge backlog. I'm terrible at that. I'll get partway through a game, I'll stop, and then I'll never come back to it. So,
okay, well, what's a game that you would like to play more than once then? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
the Wand of Gamelon, right?
Oh, man.
I'd probably have to say, like, one of the old Mario games, like Super Mario Brothers 3 or something like that.
Oh, that one's so good.
There you go.
All right, Trev.
Hey, Trevor, and I'm a writer. And that's a good question. I'm going to say maybe Chrono Trigger just because it has so many endings. And I know I played through it trying to get as many endings as I could. So that's a shot in the dark, but I know I've, you know, that's one I've beaten, you know, multiple times.
Nice. I'm Tristan Myman, also staff writer of Pure Nintendo, and I would actually say the game I've probably beaten the most is Star Fox for the SNES. To me, that's just a game that I can just easily pop in and, you know, just get lost in it. Whether, you know, usually I stay away from level 3 because that one I have to really put my focus in on, but like level 1 and 2, you know, just play for the fun of it.
I have a confession. I haven't actually beaten that game because I find it really, really hard.
The original Star Fox?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not that hard. Like, dude, level 1, dude, I beat that when I was like a wee lad in like elementary school.
Well, thanks for making me feel better, but
you were beaten by a child.
The controls are wonky. It just feels weird.
You have four different types.
Well, maybe that's my problem. I didn't mess around with the types.
You didn't do General Piper's training, did you?
I didn't.
That didn't really help out at all.
You're like, Barry, hey, I don't understand it.
Yeah. Why is this dog talking to me?
Why is this frog always in trouble?
Yeah.
Speaking of 3D, we're going to go ahead and jump right in to talk about our latest high-profile review, Yoshi's New Island, which for the 3DS, which Alex Shanky reviewed, and he gave an 8.0 out of 10. So, Alex, if you wanted to start out by talking a little bit about, you know, why you decided to give this such a high score, such a beautiful, beautiful score.
Well, going into it, I decided right off the bat that I wasn't going to compare every nitty-gritty little detail to the original. Because the original is held in such high regard, and I think that if I look through this game with nostalgia goggles, I was going to miss out on the actual experience itself. It's good to compare it to the original, but you need to look at it as a standalone experience itself. And as I was playing the game, it was all of the stuff from the original, the really tight gameplay, the egg shooting mechanics, everything was there that made it a solid platforming experience. I also really liked the fact that it wasn't simply like a remake that were all brand new levels. I liked what they did with the giant eggs. I just wish they had done a little bit more of that. I think that they could have had a better opportunity to do some more creative level design with it. But at the end of the day, I played through it. It gets challenging towards the end. You're going to have to play through it multiple times to unlock all the special worlds. And it was a solid title. I had a smile on my face the whole time I was playing it. So 8 out of 10.
And when you say it gets a little difficult near the end, and I know I'm going to go, I'm already contradicting what you just said earlier by comparing it to the SNES original, but a lot of the Nintendo games that have been coming out lately have had like levels that have like have had that classic difficulty that we used to see in the old days. Is Yoshi's New Island also have that kind of difficulty, like that old school difficulty, like you really kind of have to sit down and just really grind on it for a while?
Yeah, especially once you start unlocking some of the special worlds. Right now I'm stuck on Special World 5, which basically it's an entirely vertical level, and you have to utilize the higher flutter jumps that you can get after you jump off an enemy. There's nothing but cannons firing, and there's no ground beneath your feet. You have to constantly go up. And so it's like I've been playing this over and over and over again. I just keep dying. Not frustrated to the point where I want to give up, but it's just like, oh my god, I got to beat this level. It's a lot of fun.
Rage quit.
Yeah, no, so rage quits.
One of those levels where you know it's like, all right, if I just get back in there, I know I can go just a little bit further than I once was or something.
Exactly.
Now, Now, I don't know if you read any of the other reviews, but some of the other, I guess, media outlets have been giving it a lower score. Do you think that's due to the fact that they're comparing it to the old version of the game?
I think you have to compare it to the original game, but I think where the problem comes in is that that's all they're doing. They're not looking by itself and for its merits, you know, and not to mention that there's a ton of new gamers that, believe it or not, have never ever heard of the original Yoshi's Island who are going to be experiencing this game for the first time. And, you know, they may really enjoy it and feel as nostalgic as we do about the original. So it's tough, but sometimes we gotta step back. And so I think it got some lower scores that it probably didn't deserve because of that.
Makes sense. I mean, like, I feel like it's kind of like if someone, because, I mean, like, yeah, you have to understand that they're two completely different games. I mean, it's not like we're reviewing Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time for the 3DS. I mean, that one, that's just an HD remake. Yeah, there's a few different bells and whistles here and there, but it's the same game. This is something completely different. And you have to kind of, well, accept it and treat it as such. And then,
sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. You were saying?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, we actually, on the last KoopaCast, James or Justin brought up kind of a question. When you're dealing with a beloved franchise, do you have somebody who's enamored with past entries review it, or is it better to have somebody kind of newer? And a lot of it, I think, is just down to your mentality. A veteran can review a game if they're going to view it on its own merits.
Right.
I think the problem with a lot of the reviews I've read is they're so fixated on the SNES game. I read one prominent review, and I swear you couldn't go more than two sentences without seeing it mentioned. You need a balance. And that's what I liked with Alex's review, is he touched on, you know, key points, but he didn't dwell on it. And I think a lot of reviewers, you know, they couldn't shake that nostalgia.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, the original Yoshi's Island is a classic. It is definitely in my top 10 favorite games of all time, but it's its own title. And it's kind of like with a music album, you know, let's say your name, whatever your favorite band is, you know, you want that same style of music, but you don't necessarily want the exact same previous album. You want something new, something different to look forward mm-hmm. to. Something that sticks out of its own, that makes it its own memorable title.
Now, do you think that, I mean, just to play devil's advocate here for a moment, do you believe that, you know, these reviewers may have been looking at it in terms of like how they would look at a sequel to a game and hoping that Yoshi's New Island actually kind of built off the original SNES classic or even the Game Boy Advance titles and then further on the DS title, Yoshi's Island? They were kind of expecting some kind of build off or progression from that.
I could see that, and but again, I guess it's kind of, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I mean, the mechanic of, you know, the original as well as the other ones was a pretty solid one. You know, get to the end of stage and you have the, you know, the flare jump mechanic, the ground pound, and then the egg throwing. I mean, you just kind of use those same mechanics, maybe throw a little bit different extra spice in there, but, you know, essentially keep the way it's going.
And it's not like we're getting overwhelmed with Yoshi releases where they're churning them out, you know, every quarter. I mean,
that's a good point.
So, yeah, I don't understand some of the, I mean, I do understand it, but I just don't think it's fair when you look at this new entry and say, you know, is it going to measure up to the classic? Because honestly, even if it did, and I haven't played it yet, but even if it did, you know, our memories, you know, warm childhood memories are so strong, you know, can we objectively look at it and say, okay, this is how it really is.
Right. That's a really good point. And also, yeah, you brought up a really good valid point. When was the last Yoshi title? Was it Yoshi's DS? Yoshi Island DS? That was the last, I think that was the last Yoshi title, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe that was the last one.
Wow. And that window gap was pretty enormous too. And even that one had different elements. I mean, like the same basic premise, but you know, the whole thing was each baby had a different, you know, ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's why I took off a couple of points, because I kind of wish they had continued a bit with the innovation. Like I said, the giant eggs were cool, but you didn't get to use them as often as you would have wanted to.
I felt so, it too, Darren.
It's like, I don't want them to be afraid to innovate with the series, because I honestly feel as like the developers, they probably got burned pretty hard by hardcore Yoshi fans for the Yoshi's Island DS. I can't confirm that though, because I haven't really looked at reviews recently. Mm. But I almost get that feeling that they probably got burned on that last title, and so they tried to make this one more closely to the original to kind of appease the fans. And then the fans are, you know, now giving them backlash because it's like, oh, it's not as good as the original. It's trying.
Oh. Yeah, that's not again. That's not fair.
It can't be said. It's one of those fickle things where it's a solid title, but it's the crazy Nintendo. Sometimes we get crazy, guys. You gotta.
Yeah.
With Nintendo fans, you're never gonna please all, because if it's too close to the original, oh, it's not enough innovation. If it's too different, oh, it doesn't feel like, you know. I mean, I see that like with the Kirby series, you know, some of them have been different, and people rip that, and it's not the Kirby I love. And
no, God, I
imagine
that's
it's the same thing here, to an extent.
Yeah, and that's just not a fair assumption to make. You just can't do that. I mean, like, I absolutely love Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. It is my favorite Zelda title out there. But I didn't play, you know, Twilight Princess or Wind Waker or Skyward Sword and immediately went, yeah, it was good, but it was no Majora's Mask. I didn't do that because I just accepted it as a different title, a different story, a different, you know, different gameplay mechanics to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, keep an open mind.
Well,
but here's one cool...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff. No, you go ahead, dude.
I was just going to say, we'll have to see how Yoshi does when they decide to announce when Yarn Yoshi's coming out.
I was actually about to bring that up. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, does everyone remember about the whole Yarn Yoshi thing? Because I remember seeing like a little video of it way back when Nintendo announced it, but I've yet to hear any kind of development on it.
Yeah, they haven't really said boo about Yarn Yoshi recently.
You don't think you don't think they'll look at the sales of Yoshi's New Island and go, maybe we should just back off a bit. We'll wait till the next console.
I hope not.
They might be saving it for E3 too. That's always a possibility.
Yeah.
It's a secret to everybody. That's the way they work.
Yeah, because Nintendo's usually pretty careful on games. Like, if they say if they announce like something's going to happen, there's a good chance that, you know, it's going to come happen at some point or another. There have been very few exceptions with, like, the infamous heart monitor or Metroid Or Metroid Project Dread, which, you know, that kind of also disappeared.
Or Zelda, the Space World Zelda we saw years back, and then we got Wind Waker. I guess that's kind of a similarity maybe, possibly. Yeah,
it's kind of a tech demo, though. Not to rain on your parade.
It still would have been cool, though.
Yeah.
Well, you can go talk on the forums to the other people who thought Wind Waker was for children, and they need
No, I'm going to stop you there. I'm gonna
Those people are very, very bad.
And I want to say, yeah, when I first looked at Wind Waker, I was confused, but when I started playing that game, oh my god, did I love it. It's a fantastic Zelda's title. The graphics are absolutely charming. And I'm even wearing a Wind Waker shirt.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I need to purchase that. You're going to have to tell me where you got that.
I got this at PAX.
Well, why didn't you buy two?
Yeah, or six.
Yeah. You can probably find one on eBay.
So what's our next topic, guys? What are we talking about next?
Well, before we change topics, I do want to thank everyone who read the review and who commented. It was extremely satisfying to know that my review was well received, and if you're on the fence about the game, I think you should give it a shot because it's a great platformer. The mechanics are tight. The boss fights are just as creative and as fun as they were in the original, and it's a solid title. Give it a go if you're looking for something new for your 3DS.
Also, it's just so happy.
Oh yeah!
Like you can't play that game and not smile at the cute music or just the, you know, oh god, everything about it, so cute, it makes me want to barf.
I did have one question before we kind of switched out away from Yoshi's New Island, and I'm kind of like, you know, there's no two ways around it. You know, I'm this huge video game music nerd. I think Tristan as well. But when I played the demo and when I heard when I listened to the trailers to Yoshi's New Island, music just kind of wasn't there for me. It was just kind of, you know, there was some whistling, it was lully, but it just kind of like it put me to sleep. So you know, how is the music in this one? Like, I guarantee you've heard more than one track. I don't think they played the same whistling soundtrack the entire time. So.
Well. Besides the weird, the only way I can describe it is the squishy intro music for the title screen.
No, the kazoo.
Yeah, just like, oh, it always sounds like a squeak toy. That's what I call it, like squishy. Yeah. The music's not bad. It's it definitely doesn't have the oomph as say like the original for the Super Nintendo did, but it's still catchy. It kind of does that thing where it has. Like, I believe it was Yoshi's Story for the Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah.
Where it has, like, one central theme, and then every world has, like, a different musical variation on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, like, the same kind of song, but the special world music is pretty rocking. That's probably my favorite track. It's decent. Not as memorable, but it's decent.
I'll definitely agree with you on that one. I mean, like, there are times where, yeah, you know, I'm whistling along, or I'm just kind of, you know, humming the music. And some of the variations, I mean, like, Matt, you were saying it put you to sleep. Honestly, some of this music could, like, I would nap to. It's just so pleasant.
Yeah, it's definitely an Islander thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I hear some variations of, like, a nice accordion, maybe, like, even a classical guitar thrown in there. It's pleasant. And, again, I'm going to avoid nostalgia glasses because, I mean, but, yeah, it does definitely have the effect of, Yoshi's Story where same theme but done in a certain variation to better accent that world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to not a very good transition. I'm sorry, I can't segue like that.
We just blew your mind with that like thorough explanation, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh no, I was actually zoning out and listening to Yoshi's Island athletic theme.
Nope. I'm glad our two cents are always worth something here.
Continuing on, another certain gaming conference, GDC. Has started earlier this week, and Nintendo has made a presence there, albeit but it's not a very big one. From what I've seen, it's only been a couple games. We've seen SteamWorld Dig, and they've shown off the next Mario and Donkey Kong game. But other than that, it doesn't seem to like really be making any kind of like
impact
headlines or something big. Did you all think they should have a larger presence at this year's GDC?
It wouldn't hurt. I think that's what I'm saying. You know, it wouldn't hurt to at least have something, or at least because I feel like GDC is going to have a lot of indie companies. I figure they want to show really, really emphasize that they're indie friendly. And I'm like, yeah, they showed that with SteamWorld Dig, but and hopefully they showed it with a bunch of other the fantastic indie titles out there.
Yeah, I'll chime in on that. I think they should have a bit of a bigger presence, not so much for us just to get some more news, but more so because it's a convention for developers, and they need to do a better job of saying, this is, look at all the awesome things you can do with the gamepad. You need to jump on board and, you know, make some unique titles that you can only do on a Nintendo Wii U. Mm. And so they need to appeal to both the indie and the bigger developers and get more of that support. Because the sales are going to come in once we get the bigger games.
Not at all.
And I do know that Dan Adelman, the guy, the contact for Nintendo.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He was going to be there, like, step by step, what the process is to become an indie developer for Nintendo and stuff like that. I think it'd probably be a bigger mistake for Nintendo not to be there. So just the fact that they are there is a better step than no step at all.
Right.
But, you know, a bigger presence never hurts.
Right.
That's a good point, though, Jay Money, because, I mean, looking at, you know, Nintendo and indies from, you know, the Wii DS generation to now, or even this time a year ago, I mean, there's really been a lot of movement, you know, with, you see them churning out things with Unity, Unity Pro, you know, the Construct 2. I think it's stimulating a lot of a chatter internally among indie developers. I think my concern seeing the games that have been highlighted, a lot of them are games that already either are established elsewhere on PC or other games that have like timed exclusives. So I'm really curious to see how these games are going to really take advantage of the Wii U hardware. Not that there's anything wrong with the straight port if it's a good game, but that's been my big question when kind of following the news. How are these games that are being shown going to take advantage? So people will say, I want to play this game on Wii U and not wait a few months and play it on PS4.
Good point.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I silenced the crowd.
too good of a point.
Yeah, because it's got me thinking about like all these other indie games, and you think it'd be that's a good point of, you know, how can we really utilize the gamepad? Because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but in terms of that, like, this is by no means an indie title, but Arkham Origins, I definitely chose to play it on the Wii U over anything else, and I was blown away when you did the whole, like, detective mode with the gamepad. That one, I mean, just stuff like that makes, you know, I can show it to my other friends who are 360 or PS3 people. I can say, yeah, well, here's something I can do that you can't do on your, you know, console. You can't get that immersion like I do. Just things like that, and I really feel like AAA, you know, whether you're AAA, third party, or indie, you need to get in on that. I think it's just the right direction to go.
Well, a lot of titles, I'm not saying that indie titles stick to something safe, because a lot of them don't. A lot of them are trying to do something unique and stuff like that. But I don't feel like I've seen any indie titles that, where maybe like Gyroscope Control or something like that might enhance the experience at all. A lot of times, just the plain controller input with like a map and inventory on the gamepad or something perfectly fits whatever game I'm playing. There were a few times where maybe I was like, you know, maybe some online multiplayer or something might add in a little more to the game. But I never really felt like I was missing anything experience-wise playing the indie games that I've played so far.
Like, Nintendo Underground is a good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of fun with that one.
All right. And just to keep moving along here, we're going to just do a quick light topic before we get into another topic, which I feel like will spark a huge argument.
By the end of that argument, we're going to be yelling at each other.
We're like a roller coaster. We go up and down. It's an emotional roller coaster, actually.
So it's like Mario Kart is like playing Mario Kart's a complete downhill roller coaster of I want all my friends, you know, down. Yeah, I don't care about them anymore.
Before we hit them with the blue shell of emotion, that's exactly
right. I'm going to start on that.
Well, so, Tristan doesn't know what a blue shell is, because is he ever in first place?
Shut up, Trevor. Shut up.
I love you, Tristan.
Yeah, no, you don't. You're full of lies, fucking blue shells.
But anybody following the site, they've noticed a quick little snippet, but I feel like it's really important to the gaming industry as a whole. That new Donkey Kong cake recipe.
Oh, baby.
Yum, yum. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. 125 grams of butter, 3/4 cups of sugar, 2 eggs. It's all there.
I saw your topic, and I actually, my wife was gonna bake it, and I was gonna actually eat it during the KoopaCast.
Yeah.
And we could not. We got everything, but we could not get the banana shake mix or whatever, the powder. We checked a couple stores, could not find it, so I couldn't make it. But if next KoopaCast, if I'm on, and I'll make sure that
I want you to have the whole thing, the whole thing, throughout the cast. Just turn the cast.
It'll have to be a long one, an hour and a half maybe.
And we might even ask you to go all baby's first birthday on it and just, just like run, don't even use a plate, no silverware, just go to town.
Just think, what would Donkey Kong do? And the answer is shove the whole thing in your mouth at once.
Well, I thought he was going to do that in the game because at the beginning cinematic, he doesn't have anything. He's just like about to like just attack it. Like if it was prey.
So I think for the next KoopaCast, we should all make the cake and then have an eating contest to see who can finish it first.
Oh, I will house that cake.
J-Mo's going to go like Kirby on us and just eat it in one hole.
I'm not going to eat all day.
Yeah, exactly. You have to prepare for this.
You got to start fasting.
I'm not losing to J-Money in yet another contest. I'm going to win this cake.
I'm sending some bad blood here, guys.
It's just a friendly rivalry where he keeps beating me the step contest and the 88 days thing.
Well, maybe if you weren't sitting here talking on the KoopaCast, you could be, running.
Oh, excuse me for doing my job, Tristan.
Well, I'm sorry for not having money so I can afford to leave you there.
Well, I mean, if you eat the whole cake, then you have motivation for walking it off.
There you go.
Logging some serious miles.
That's true.
Yeah.
And just for a little plug, just for those who don't know, Thomas Jones' wife, one of our writers, his wife published a recipe for the Donkey Kong cake from Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze in our magazine, PNM. You can go on to our website and subscribe to it because you have to now.
That's going to be awesome.
You want that cake.
We also posted the recipe to our website, so you can find the recipe there too.
Yeah, and also be sure to check out her blog, guys. I've read a lot of her stuff. It's fantastic. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, and we should probably plug that too. It's called
Moogle's in it. Moogle's in it. I know Moogle's in it.
Moogle Pie.
Moogle Pie. That's Moogle what I thought pie. It was. Yeah.
Koopo.
Yeah, be sure to check it out. She writes some pretty fantastic stuff.
Well, now that we're good and arguing already.
Oh, great. All right, let me just pop my knuckles and get ready.
All right, Tristan's ready. We're going to move on to the next topic, physical versus retail. We just recently had an opinion piece on our website about physical versus retail. So I was definitely hoping to join in on that bandwagon and see what your opinions are on whether you prefer a physical piece of media or you would like to download it off the internet like a lazy person.
We have
Lamb's fire in the words.
We haven't even started. I want to smack that head off your head. Oh, physical all the way for me.
Yes, definitely physical.
Absolutely. Physical. I mean, look at my, part of my myself here. I want to say what I liked about Peter's article that he wrote. A lot of times when we talk about the physical versus digital debate, we'll talk about the tangible things like we can sell it, we can trade it. If our Wii breaks, we don't have to go through the headache of trying to, get it, because they don't have a cloud server or whatever. But what I liked about Peter is he kind of touched on the emotional aspects, the thrill of going into like a store, seeing a box on the shelf, ripping it open on the car ride home and getting over the manual, things like that. And that's something you're never going to get with digital. And I'm, to this day, not counting like virtual console stuff, there's only two games I've downloaded digitally when there was a physical option. One was Wii Fit, because it was a $30 difference and I couldn't ignore that.
Yeah, it's true.
And the other was Pokemon, which I just finally got free through the Club Nintendo promotion.
All right.
I just
Like, yeah, unless there's a massive savings, I'm never gonna go physical. I'm gonna go kicking and screaming throughout the whole transition here.
I hear you. And I just realized something. The Pokemon thing, when I got Yoshi's New Island, it told me I was up for that, but I already have Pokemon X.
Well, give me Pokemon X.
You get Pokemon Y, then.
I was going to say.
Pokemon Trainer,
what do I do with Y?
Give
you
it to me.
Play the game again and you get that stuff.
$50.
What do you mean, what do you do with Y? I have to school you guys in Pokemon Trainering.
Dude, I haven't played Pokemon since Blue, man. I've been so out of the loop. But back to what we were talking about. No, I totally agree with that, especially the excitement of, like, you know, seeing obviously Trevor's fantastic collection, you know, scaling over behind him. You know, I have the same thing myself, and it's great to see that library of games, you know, just at your disposal. It's fantastic to see that. But I definitely do see the appeal of digital, like when Wind Waker came out, and I do not know why Nintendo does not continuously do this, is when Wind Waker came out, you could get the digital version 2 weeks before the physical came out. That alone is such a fantastic business move to compel people to pick up the digital version.
That's true.
And then, like you said, go ahead.
No.
Fine. I was going to say, like you said also about the Wii Fit U, there's a $30 difference. I mean, for me personally, if I ever got the Wii Fit U, I get the digital because I'm saving $30. That's a lot of money. Because $30, you can use that to go to like a 3DS game.
You're talking about the early promotion there, not to get too off topic, but were they doing at a time where, like, if you bought retail games digitally, you got extra like Club Nintendo coins or something, or some kind of
yeah, it was the there was a deluxe digital promotion that Nintendo came out with their 32 gigabyte systems, their Wii U deluxes. They came with the DDP thing where you logged into a website and you didn't get like coins, you got like digital credit.
Yeah.
Like every 5,000 points, you got $5 digital credit, which you can use to the eShop.
Is that a temporary thing? Or?
No, yeah, it's still going on.
Yeah.
Well, they need to hype that up more.
Yeah.
It's only until like the end of this year, the end of next year or something, but I've actually used that deluxe digital promotion thing a lot.
If I download another virtual console game, I get another $5 card and I'll have $15 in my digital deluxe promotion thingy. So hopefully Mario Brothers 3 comes out tomorrow and I can go and get
Don't hold your breath.
I'm not holding my breath.
Well, it has to come out sometime between now and Remix 2 because Mario Brothers 3 isn't there.
Yeah, that's...
Well, it doesn't have to, but...
I'd like it, though.
Yeah. Well, it's organized like Remix 1 where they say, well, you like the game? Go to, click this and you go to the shop, like automatically.
Oh, okay. So yeah, they did that.
Yeah, it's definitely a smart business move.
Speaking of Remix, Matt, I'm glad you said that because that brought me back to Peter's article about physical and digital. Right, yeah. And Japan's getting the compilation of
Remix? Yeah.
Doom 1 and 2,
I would absolutely, I don't know what needs to be done to get that really stateside, but I would jump at that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's the worst part about that too, because like New Super Luigi U, I was kind of like, oh man, do I double dip for that? You know, just so I can have the box, you know, it's such a, maybe Nintendo knows that about the gamers and they're just doing that to mess with us. So we double dip. Maybe
I'm wondering if sales are going to be strong, if that will, like if Remix sells great in Japan, if that'll ultimately lead to a physical, because that's kind of, wasn't that the case with DuckTales remastered?
I think so, maybe. I don't have 100% on that, but it makes sense. You know, it would make sense if the sales went well for that, because people again know that they want the digital, though they'll want a physical copy with it.
And I find myself, I mean, I love physical copies. Like, I would much rather have a physical copy over digital copies, but I've downloaded a ton of digital games.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted, most of them are digital only, but I just downloaded a ton of indie titles, a ton of like DuckTales. I guess that might be indie, I don't know. Anyways, I've actually downloaded quite a few games.
Right. And some of those triple titles, like I think Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, when I downloaded it, I think it was 10 gigs. 10 gigs worth of data, and right now I have to go shopping for like a external hard drive because I'm, you know, my Wii U is about to explode, you know, because it's so overloaded.
Yeah, I already picked one up, so I'm good to go.
Yeah, you pick one up and you're to go, man.
Luckily, they're getting cheaper nowadays, you know?
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, so I can at least pick up like a 500 gigabyte, because I was thinking terabit, but I was like, even after the entire Wii U library comes out, it's not going to, even if I got it all digital, it wouldn't add up to that much, so.
Well, why'd you, I got a 2 terabyte, and it was only like $100 or something like that.
You never go in moderation when it comes to, you know, storage,
yeah,
digital
that's
storage.
True.
You always get the
absurd
amount.
I didn't want to buy something small and then have to upgrade later. So,
yeah,
like,
go big or go
biggest
home.
One now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Go big or go home. You rather want space that you're never going to use up rather than space you might use up.
Right.
Exactly.
All right.
But I guess my whole thing against the digital is I don't mind downloading digital games, but what worries me is if my system gets lost, damaged,
right,
or stolen, and then all that real money that I've invested in is gone. Like, there's no way to ensure that. And I guess you could say the same thing for a physical copy. If you lose or damage that, it's the same thing. But I don't know, for some reason, I would prefer if there was, they already log what games you buy, but I wish there was a way to, like, you know, like, re-download it.
Well, and
in case something happened.
In your comparison between the physical, digital, lost, stolen, damaged, whatever, the difference is, I think, is that with a physical copy, it might be one to, you know, a part of your library. But if that happens to, like, your console, it's all over.
Yeah.
Your
memory, everything.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest issues people have with digital games right now, is that if something happens to those games, can I get them back? Can they be restored?
Yeah.
Not to mention, I know it's way too early to be thinking about it, but whenever Nintendo does their next system, you know, 6 or 7 years from now or whatever, it's like, are they planning to, all that money that I've invested in digital, am I going to be able to transfer that easily? What
right.
if I, you know, what if I'm the crazy person that buys the console on day one and then goes gaga-eyed for the Zelda edition system, and I want to buy the Zelda edition system and transfer my stuff over? Will I be able to do that? It just doesn't seem like they've taken enough thought with that, because with physical copies, you know, it's easy to move from one system to the other and make it backwards compatible that way.
Well, I can already answer your question right there. See, when you won't have to worry about that, because one, you couldn't transfer over to your Zelda system, your new fancy Zelda system, because I would have already broken into your place to steal your fancy Zelda system. So, problem solved. You won't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it.
No, a little lost here. No. I was thinking, you know, with, obviously we're informed. We know, like, you know, God forbid our Wii U, our 3DS junked out. We know the hoops we kind of have to jump through to get our game saved. The average consumer, if their Wii U breaks, and they just think, okay, I'll just go out and buy a new one. How many actually know the convoluted system that Nintendo has in place to try to get your games back? You know, I would say for the average consumer, most of them don't know.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's 2014. I mean, I don't know what other argument to say except that it's it's 2014, and I, you know, cut Nintendo slack because I love Nintendo, but, you know, I look at, you know, like with Sony, you know, download a game, you know, on your Vita, play it on your PS4. I would love to do that. Like, you know, with 3DS and Wii, I hate having to double dip, and I won't, you know, until we get a better setup.
So you're saying when Mario Bros. 3 comes out, you're not going to double dip? Because I'm totally double dipping.
Well, you know, I got the NES original. I got All Stars. I have already double dipped, I guess.
Dude, I'm like quadruple dipped.
Well, you know, there's some games I would, probably not for a digital, if they had, like, you know, some kind of collector set or something, I might, but. Yeah, don't hold me on that, because
really, because I mean, like, for me, I don't know about you, man, but for me, with collector, when I see a collector's edition, especially a Nintendo game that's collector's edition,
you're like,
that's exactly, because Nintendo rarely ever does a collector's of anything. But that's like a totally different topic for that, like, could like go on all night about why Nintendo should do that more. Maybe
save it for the cake episode to keep it going.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna need it.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to go ahead and keep pushing us along here. We're going to talk. We have some reader questions this week.
Woo-hoo.
Nice.
We have multiple reader questions this week.
Oh man, we're on a roll.
Yeah. I've got, so I know we each kind of have our own. So I'll start with mine, and then anybody else who has reader questions, they can chime in next. So we actually got this on for our Pure Nintendo site, and the post where we asked about questions for the KoopaCast this week. This is from Sunny Leafs. This is actually a good segue right here. Speaking of digital games, are you guys hoping that we'll get a Wii U update that will add a folder system similar to the 3DS? To say that they wish there was a better way to organize their virtual console purchases.
Nintendo. Yes, please, Nintendo.
Yes, really, God. It's not about you guys. On my 3DS, I have three folders. I have a demo folder, a retro folder, and a digital download folder. I would love that for the Wii U.
I usually don't like stuffing my games away in a folder because then I just tend to forget about them. But my issue is, I guess, excuse me, with the Wii U, is that you can scroll through the different screens where it has the blocks where you can fill them up with your games and whatnot. Is it limited to that four or five screens on the gamepad? Or like when you fill that up, I mean, what happens? Do you get extra screens?
I'm sure it would expand, yeah. But
I think you would, because like the original Wii, when you put things on the SD card, I mean, that menu went on forever. I would imagine it would, I know it's different, but I would love folders, particularly as we review games. Sometimes you review a game that is just not a game you're going to want to revisit a whole lot, and I usually just tuck them away. I don't go through the bother of trying to delete them, because you never know if you want to go back, but it's funny, in the case of the Wii U, I didn't realize for a long time that they didn't have a folder system, because I didn't have a lot of, a lot of purchases. I only realized that recently. It seems like a no-brainer, so I'm all for it.
I never actually thought about having a folder system on the Wii U. I just kind of used the screens that we have on the Wii U as like this impromptu folder, I guess.
Yeah.
Where I've got all my virtual console titles on one page, and then I've got the regular eShop titles and other downloaded games on another page, and then after that, it's like settings and all the other stuff that I don't want.
Kind of.
I'm lazy. I don't like to scroll. I want it all on one page, so if I can just have like a million subfolders, I can just keep going deeper. That's what I want.
For me, I've got the only thing with that is that I've already run out of my virtual console page. It's overflowing to the other one. So what I've been trying to do is saying, all right, this row is Mario games, this row is Zelda games, and this row is Kirby. And then, I do my best.
Folder for each category. Folder for Mario. Folder for Zelda.
OCD folders
everywhere.
Yeah. Is it chronological?
Yeah.
Actually, depending on the category, like I have, Mario Lost Levels, Mario 2, a spot for Mario 3, which is yet to come, and then Mario World, kind of things like that.
It concerns me how much you want that virtual console title of Mario 3.
I love Mario 3. It is my absolute favorite. They made a movie just to promote it, son.
He's only moving to Seattle so he can stalk Nintendo.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just gonna hide outside a bush or something, and they'll just pick it up and just walk inside and then stop occasionally.
He's gonna sit on the sidewalk with a sign, "Bring us Super Mario Brothers 3."
But we already released it. I don't care. I've got nothing else better to do.
A power glove in each hand. Yeah.
So I was hoping he's wearing a Tanuki suit.
Because that's not creepy. I'll just staying outside the creepy as it is. Just talking.
Kirby Yoshi hopping around.
Exactly.
Any other? We have other reader questions. J-Money, you have some, right?
Yeah, I had one that was on Twitter. I think it was, I don't remember if it was PNM account or the Pure Nintendo account, but it's Gravesmeister, I guess.
Yeah, Gravesmeister.
Is the old Bravely Default game better than the demo? And we kind of discussed this a little bit before the cast, but I'll let you guys continue.
I say yes. Yes, it is. The demo just serves to get you acquainted with the job system and how the Brave Default battle mechanics work. But the full-on game has a full, very fun storyline. It's got voice acting in it. It's a very full and enriching game. It's a time sink. You're going to sink a lot of time into it. It's a solid RPG. So, yeah, there are side quests that you're going to do, but nothing like kill, 10 monsters and get their livers and then bring them back to me. That
I
was
was
just
on
for the
that
sake of the
quest.
demo.
I was on that quest right now. I still have two more to go.
Yeah, it's kind of.
And why does this person need all these livers? That's my question.
You
Liver
totally
cake.
want to know.
Liver cake. It'd be
Yeah,
great.
it's
It'd be
fun. Give
great
it a
if
go.
in the. It'd be great if in the game you give the person the livers and you that's actually an option you can say is why. So why do you need all these livers? And it just says dot dot dot. And the character just starts walking away slowly. That's called immersion, my friends.
Oh, Tristan.
Let's see.
Oh, Tristan, indeed.
Any more questions?
Let's see. The Q&A system is up. Currently answering this one from Dottie R. Something about poofy penguins. So let's hear your opinions on poofy penguins.
I
All
played a
down for
game
poofy
with
penguins.
poofy penguins. Percy's
What's
Predicament.
the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Poofy penguins. That's
Yeah,
the question.
that is quite literally the question is poofy penguins, and then an exclamation point, and then a question mark, and then another exclamation point. So it's a very pressing question.
I think I have a poofy penguin. Hold on. Hold on. I'm going
All
to
right.
deliver.
Instead of a poofy penguin, why not poofy pandas? That's the bigger question.
And I don't know
Poofy penguin. I deliver. I
Wow,
deliver.
that is so poofy.
There's the answer right
That
there.
there's the answer. There you go. Poofy penguin.
Koopa
Alex
Cast,
had the
we
answer to
always
his question.
deliver.
Yeah.
I think Jay Money was saying or starting to say that
Oh,
earlier
sorry.
today we had the contest for Percy's Predicament. We were giving away some codes for that. I don't think he's poofy per se,
No, he's not really poofy.
but
It's all a lie.
I thought the game was solid. I know Jay Money wasn't as fond of it as me. So maybe the question stems from that promotion. I don't know.
Perhaps.
Well, sorry, I did not mean to interrupt, but that just had to be taken care of.
Yeah,
It
we have a
did.
poofy penguin.
Yep, you had the answer.
You should put that as your
I
avatar for like a week, Alex.
Yeah.
Penguin.
Nice. I shall do this.
Koopacast, we answer any question.
Yeah, really. I have no
Almost
shame.
any questions. We don't want to get
Yeah.
crazy now.
Or do we?
Yeah.
I'm a loose cannon, I'll do it.
And then the only other thing we have on this list is just a clarification from Gaming Media about the Deluxe Digital promotion. It ends at the end of 2014.
There's plenty of time to rack up enough like points and in-game gift cards for like a full title download.
And one thing I thought of during our physical versus digital conversation, and it's kind of like off topic of everything that we've talked about really, but Walmart just announced that they're getting into the used game business. What are your all thoughts about that?
How much am I getting? That's my question. Am I going to get like a GameStop, kicking the teeth when I could like buy a $60 game, turn around, and I turn right back to them and go, actually, I want to sell this. I go, okay, you'll get in $10 back.
The neat thing that Walmart's doing, though, is they have like a calculator online where you can type in the title and it'll give you a quote
Oh,
to
wow.
what they'll give you
That's
for that
nice.
game.
That's pretty solid right
So you
there. That's
don't have
really
to travel to the store. You can say, okay, what am I going to get for this before I even go to the store?
Right.
That's something I wish GameStop had for a long time now, so
Yeah. Yeah.
props to them for doing that.
Yeah,
I
really.
guess only time will tell.
Yeah, really. I could probably get it on that though.
I guess I'd be curious to see like what's the parameters of what they'll take. I mean, will they take like a bunch of like old Wii shovelware, games or
Yes. They're going back to Wii and DS.
Okay.
Oh,
Okay.
nice.
So yeah, some potential, I suppose.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were going like old school, like SNES, like I'll buy this cartridge for so much money, which by the way, Trev, I will give you $5, five whole dollars for your Chrono Trigger cartridge.
That's a good deal, let me
I will
tell
give
you.
you $7. What makes
Oh.
you think I have Chrono Trigger on the cartridge?
$7.01.
I'll be honest, I played Chrono Trigger on the SNES when I was younger, but the versions I own are for PS1 and the DS.
So. Fine, I'll throw you drive a hard bargain. I'll throw in a physical copy of Earthbound.
Another son, you give that to me right now.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Sounds like a great deal, Trevor. I would take that.
I don't know about you guys, but like that, I feel like it's on my gamer bucket list. I would love to own a physical copy of Earthbound, that game. And I have to blame Alex for building up the hype for that game, which he did. That
I'll
game.
Take your offer, Tristan. I think it's a binding contract since we're out live here for everyone to see. So
we're going through a tunnel.
Cough up Earthbound.
Exactly.
If all I had.
Yeah, same here.
Copy. Yeah.
I would love to own that game too, to go with my my copy of Mother 3 that I played in Japanese before the English translation.
Dude, speak yourself for like me, because I remember seeing that on the shelf with the guide and the big box, and
this
I mean,
game
you just kick yourself for not grabbing games like that when you saw. Because I mean, who would know at the time? You know, now we're a little more.
Yeah, it was in the discount bins for like absurdly cheap. It's a shame.
Well, yeah, but then again, you have to look at the classic games you have now and look how much they're worth. Like, I looked up, just for kicks, on Amazon how much Diddy's Conquest was. The game's like $200, and I'm like, and I still
what?
Have a copy. Like,
that's
game
if it's, like, brand new and sealed, though. That's
really?
Oh, yeah, that's
even bad games sell pretty good if they're sealed.
Yeah, that's true. I got lucky with my Star Tropics. It came with a box, and the box is beaten up, but the cartridge is in great condition for like $11.
Did you have the letter? Because I lost my letter.
I didn't. See, that was the part, remember, I told in my review.
That's right.
Yeah, because I mentioned, I was like, wait, because I was playing with a buddy of mine that says, dip the letter in cold water. And me and my buddy looked at each other like, what letter? And then right when it hit me, the first thing I thought was, oh my God, this is totally like Metal Gear Solid. Look at the back of the CD case for Romero's codec number.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to my laptop, looked it up, and I was like, oh my God, they were brilliant. That's fantastic. I love it.
On the virtual console, because I have both. That's a game I would double dip on. But they have a digital letter, which you can actually duck with the Wiimote, which is kind of cool.
I looked that up too, and I was like, because that was me and my buddy were thinking, it's like, so what do they do for the virtual console version? We just looked at my Wii. It's like, hey, just dip it in the tub in the cold water. Good. There's no letter, no code.
Nice. Yeah. And on that moment of genius,
thank you.
It is time to close out this week's KoopaCast. I want to thank everybody for calling in or coming in and talking to me about all these other subjects. Thank you, audience, for listening in for this cast. You all deserve a round of applause.
Yeah. No, what are we playing this week?
What's that?
I said, no, what are we playing this week, or are we out of time?
We're out of time.
We don't care
so
what you're playing this week, Trevor. We don't care.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. We're trying to keep these things under an hour.
How about we just say the title?
I don't know. Can I trust you guys to do that?
I don't know.
We'll all say it all at once. Count of three, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
One,
okay.
Two.
Two.
Levels.
Chronicles.
Super Mario 3 on Virtual Console.
You'll have to follow us on Twitter. I'll tweet what I've been playing.
Yeah, smart man.
No. We're not leaving yet. What did you say there, Matt? You say Super Mario 3 Virtual Console? Can you hold that on me?
I'm going through a tunnel.
Oh, are you now? Yeah, that sound sure isn't a total.
This is a train wreck. This isn't a podcast anymore.
Anyway.
Like Alex.
You know, some of our members mentioned Twitter. We all do like getting new Twitter followers. You can find us on Twitter. We're usually like I'm mad at I'm purely Matt. We've got like purely Justin, purely J Money, all on there. You can find it on purenintendo.com if you need to look us up on Twitter there. If you want to ask questions for the next podcast, next KoopaCast, or KoopaCast in the future, you can email us at podcast@koopacast.com. If you don't have time, or you kind of you slept the whole week and you're like, oh no, I forgot to write a question, and you're panicking, don't panic, because we have this awesome Q&A app. You can kind of on this Google Hangouts, you can click the link that we usually have on our pages when we start up the KoopaCast. You can go on here and ask your question, and we will answer it right there on air, as we saw with the penguins.
I got you guys.
Also, if you've been sleeping for a whole week straight, I would go see a doctor. You might be sick. Just looking out for you guys.
Tristan looking out. So there you have it. I'm still working on a better exit strategy for these podcasts. Again, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all in 2 weeks.
Da 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 da. Hodor.